You've been listening. Oh, you are listening to Revolution Rock. We're not done yet.
Well, I mean, past tense still implies if you have been listening.
If this is an archive and you're not listening live, then yeah, perhaps you've been listening. Hopefully you're still currently listening even after this moment of, I don't know.
It's been warm out there for the past couple weeks, Dave. I think we'll give you a pass for that little breakdown.
Hazy brain.
A little hazy, wazy brain. Probably from that hazy song we just heard. From the one and only Cindy Lee, we heard Stone Faces from their magnum opus, Diamond Jubilee, an amazing album. You know, there was a review I read, and I forget what publication said it, but it's kind of like tuning into a radio station in an alternative plane of reality where the 50s never ended, and yet it's also a post-apocalyptic world. And I think that's a great description for it.
It's also got some 60s soul in there vibes. I'm just wondering how they got all these sounds. Amazing sounds on this record. Diamond Jubilee, Stone Faces. That's what we ended off that set with. Before that, we heard brand new music coming out of Australia from Cosmetica. And this is a band we've played before. And they have a new album that's coming out soon. It's going to be called Luxury. We heard the latest single, which is called Pictures Are Gone. Prior to that, we heard brand new music from a band we just love here, Dog Day.
Mm-hmm. Good old Halifax's Dog Day. They have a new album coming out July 26th titled A T-Shirt with Writing on It. We heard Silver Bowl from that. Prior to that, some new material from Bluffing from their latest release, People Pleaser. We heard the track Fragile Ego. And we started things off with a band that incorporates members from a lot of established acts, including members of Napies. This is, of course, Laughing. And we heard something from their new release, Because It's True.
Yep, we heard Will She Ever Be a Friend of Mine to start off that set. Now, coming up next, we are going to be playing some music from David Bowie, who perhaps you've heard of. In 1984, David Bowie released this album called Diamond Dogs.
Well, no, you see, you're chronologically challenged, my friend.
Oh, no.
So in 1974... 74.
Why did I say 84?
Well,
I don't know.
This actually leads me into...
Because of the song on here, yes.
So let's talk about David Bowie in 1974. So this year saw the release of Diamond Dogs, which was kind of the end mark for his glam rock career. You have to figure, before this, he really became a household name, especially with albums like Ziggy Stardust and Aladdin Sane. He was the face of glam rock, and he became this huge icon, this huge figurehead for this movement. And yet, Bowie was growing very restless for a number of different reasons. Creatively, he felt like he was stymied, that he always had to capitulate to this sort of glam rock aesthetic. He was sick and tired of people calling him Ziggy Stardust. It had been two albums since that, and yet people still identified him with his persona that he created, the character for that record, rather than identifying him as the creator and the artist. And then, of course, there were substance abuse issues. I don't think this is a shock
news
for anyone.
It's not really news.
Bowie did a lot of things in the 70s, a lot of great things and a lot of things he really regretted. And amongst them was a bit of the nose candy. And, you know, all of this mixed together made him pretty depressed and very anxious at this point. So he wanted to branch out musically as well as creatively. And one of those ways he wanted to do was not doing rock records anymore.
Yeah.
He wanted to actually do a musical. And in fact, the musical he wanted to do was George Orwell's 1984.
Yes, and he had a lot of little things he wanted to do at this time, including that, not only that, but he also wanted to do something with the writings of William Burroughs.
Mm-hmm.
But for this record, which he produced himself in two different locations, several different locations, but the UK and the Netherlands, he disbanded the Spiders from Mars.
Yes, he was done with it. That was another way of him trying to siphon off the idea that I am no longer the glam rock figure. I can no longer be with pinups, arguably four really great records with that lineup, and I need to make a change. And so he got a brand new lineup and tried to adapt a new sound, one that I guess you could say was more akin to two very polarized musical styles, progressive rock and disco, of all things. And keep in mind, Bowie's doing funk and soul, which, you know, his iteration of it was very discoized. In 1974, well before disco became a real, like, linchpin of popular music, which was a huge thing. So, in a way, he was a bit trendsetting with this particular record. And obviously, he would go on to do much more dance and soul-oriented music with his subsequent releases, like Station the Station, with the Thin White Duke persona, and of course, Young Americans. But here, you had the first taste of it. There was a lot of pop and soul elements on Diamond Dogs. Yep. And yet, I think there was still that feeling that Bowie was a little hesitant to dive right in, because you have a lot of riff rock on here, including one of the greatest singles Bowie ever released. Rebel Rebel has its origin on this.
Yes, and another thing that's interesting about this album is it had a lot of rock and garage type elements. Many people would call it proto-punk, mm-hmm. and it would go on to influence this album. A lot of parts of it, punk.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know what's interesting here? He tried to adapt a new persona, like he did in previous records with Ziggy Stardust and Aladdin Sane. This one was Halloween Jack. Who the heck remembers Halloween Jack? No one does, unless you're really reading the lyrics of Diamond Dogs. It was kind of a failed persona, but it was, and in its own way, kind of a half-hearted persona. Because let's go back to what we said. He was working with the works of William Burroughs, really influenced by that writing style. He even met Burroughs at one point for a very awkward photo shoot that has been widely publicized and shared online. and also, he was at some point given the estate's permission to begin a George Orwell 1984 musical production. And then the estate decided, we don't want this weird, strange, androgynous man doing anything to the legacy of George Orwell. So they rescinded that. So the music for the stage play was scrapped. The original idea of this Burroughs indebted project was scrapped because there was some other things going on. And it all got amalgamated, basically, into this record, which makes it so weird. It is a very weird record because stylistically, it goes all over the place. You'll have torch songs. You'll have proto-punk. You'll have disco and soul-style songs. And with that said, it is one of the strangest Bowie records, and for that reason, a really underrated one. One that I think is unlike any other album in his discography, and one that would definitely show where he was heading on future releases, such as Young Americans, even arguably the Berlin Trilogy.
Yeah, and we're going to play a couple tracks from it, and we'll talk a little more about it after the break. So we'll get started with the title track.
Yeah, this one again with this character of Halloween Jack talking about this post-apocalyptic world that he is lording over. And you will definitely, if you pay attention to the lyrics, hear elements of both Burroughs and George Orwell in this, but we'll leave that for your discretion to listen to this, celebrating 40 years of Diamond Dogs by David Bowie.
scream from the man at the top. It's a shame that his children disagree. They coolly decide to sell him down the line. That is brainwashing time. He's a do-do. Childhood of yore, when a unit was a figure, not a shield.
You are back listening to CJAM 99.1 FM and Revolution Rock. Adam and Dave here with you, and we are just coming back from a block celebrating 40 years of Diamond Dogs, the 1974 record from David Bowie, which is celebrating its anniversary this week. And what did we end up playing at the end but a cover of really the best-known song from this record and one of the best-known songs from David Bowie in general. That would be Rebel Rebel, this time a version by Tegan and Sarah, a group we normally don't play too often on the program, but definitely did a great homage to David Bowie's glam rock period with that rendition.
Before that, we heard a pair of tracks from Bowie. Before that, we actually heard a song that wasn't on the album proper, but it was a song that he was doing for the musical that he was working on.
Yeah, so this was the musical adaptation of 1984, and this was going to be one of the songs appearing on it. He scrapped that in lieu of the cancellation of the production and then just overall reworked it for future songs. It was originally going to be an introduction for the track 1984, but then that never panned out. And it was relegated to kind of a B-side and rarity track. You can actually find that on the 30th anniversary edition of Diamond Dogs that was released 10 years ago. And we started things off with the title track from that record. Again, it's not really as well notarized or as prevalent to talk about in most of Bowie's discography. People are going to talk about Hunky Dory. They'll talk about the Berlin Trilogy.